Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Mystery Babylon, Part 3. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation 18, and we're going to read verses 1 through 24. And it reads, after these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every creature, unclean and hated bird. Verse 3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you shall share in her sins. What? Unless you receive of her plagues. Verse 5. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works in the cup which she has mixed. Mix double for her in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Very prideful nation here. Very prideful. Look at verse 8. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and live luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. Verse 10, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple silk, scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of the most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, bodies, and souls of men. We talked about all this a couple of weeks ago, right? A lot of these things, they're in our ports today. But the last one here, the bodies and the souls of men, this nation had slavery. Well, guess what? It still has slavery today with sex trafficking. Look, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Wow, all these nations that got rich off this one nation is wailing and weeping because they could never get the riches no more from that country. Look at this. Verse 16. and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple, scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing." Every shipmaster, all who traveled by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What is like this great city?" Wow. Verse 19. They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." I'm going to just pause real quick and ask this question. It says right here in verse 19, it says, "For in 1 hour she is made desolate." Okay, so if you look at history and look at all the kingdoms of nations that have risen up and then many of them collapse or no longer with us, nothing back then had the power to destroy them in 1 hour. Nothing. To conquer a nation, you had to be at war for months. We're talking about here in 1 hour. This nation is desolate. So what could cause that to happen? Nuclear bombs. So it says, verse 20, "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." Look at verse 21. "Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great milestone and threw it into the sea, saying, 'Thus with violence the great city, Babylon, should be thrown down and shall not be found anymore.' The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters should not be heard in her no more." This is a nation that loves their music. It loves every genre. Country, rap, R&B, jazz, contemporary, pop, you name it. All of it. Because no one buys foreign music. Do you buy Japanese music and jam it in your car? You can't even understand the first syllable. But they buy our music and are rapping to our music, aren't they? Oh, yeah. The whole world buys United States music. But we don't buy everyone. I don't buy Brazil. I don't speak Portugal. Look at this. No, "No craftsman of any craft should be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore." Look at verse 23. "The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of the bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you." Ooh, I want you to catch that. "And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore." You know what that means? When this nation is being destroyed, God's going to take his church out. And we're going to see something in this part three here regarding that. And so, what were we at? Verse, okay, yes. Okay, "The light of the lamp shall not shine in her anymore, and the voice of the bridegroom bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived." Wow. "And in her was the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who were slain on the earth." And so, saints, we can't find words, the words rapture, the triune God, United States in Scripture. However, though, descriptions of these are there. They're there. We know that. Because what? The rapture being caught up, that's called harpazo in the Greek. it doesn't say rapture, but it's being caught up. So it's there. The word of God is clear. Well, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ climaxes at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. However, an angel came to the Apostle John and took him into the wilderness. It was an uninhabited place. Look at this in Revelation right up here. Revelation 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. What do you think he saw? What do you think he saw? I'll let you ponder that for a moment. Since it was to show him certain events that would immediately precede the tribulation period and Jesus' second coming. And interestingly, little saints, the angel did not take John to Rome. He didn't take him to any other nation. He took him to where that great nation would rise up, and then it would be destroyed by God. It would be used by God mightily, but then destroyed by God. Because every nation that has risen up, God would destroy it because of what was the number one grievous sin? Immorality. When it would become immoral, that's when God has to come in and destroy it. Because they have corrupted themselves. Because they have denied the natural use of a woman and a man. So in a society that goes immoral, what they do is they pervert what God has created holy. So in a perverted, immoral country, you're going to have women with women, men with men. You're going to have transgenders. You're going to have all that which God calls an abomination. So when that comes to a place of no turning back with a nation, he has to come and destroy it. He's got to get rid of it. Because it won't cure itself. There's no cure for it. There is no cure for it. And so from this location, God would raise up a wealthy, powerful nation for his purposes. Yet he would be forced to judge this powerful nation because she turned her back on the Judeo Christian covenant that was the source of its blessings. Did you know when the pilgrims came, they made a covenant with God? They made a covenant and said, just like Israel made a covenant, we made a covenant here. George Washington, his writings, says if our nation turns from you, God, you have every right to judge us. It's right there in the writings. It's right there when you go visit Washington, D.C. It's there. Prophecy teachers have speculated where the mystery Babylon the Great would be for centuries. However, saints of God, no nation has ever fulfilled all 53 biblical descriptions of her, which fit to a T is the United States of America. God gave those prophecies to Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and John. And God told Daniel this, look at this. Seal the book, for the mysteries of prophecy were appointed for the time of the end, when knowledge shall be increased. See, we didn't understand all this until now. We're at the end. Now God is revealing these things to us. 100 years, we couldn't put this together. It wouldn't make no sense. What do you mean Iran and in the Middle East was going to come against Israel? Israel was not even a state until 1948. So all this right now, we're seeing it in real time, what's taking place. God then promised Daniel that the wise will understand, but the non-believers will not. Unbelievers won't. They can't receive what we're learning today, what's being taught today. They reject it. They refute it. Ah, this is those Christians again. Blah, 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 blah. That's how they view us. This teaching contains 53 scripture references describing commercial Babylon, the Great, and her connection to this country, these United States. So as we continue to read God's word and the 53 prophetic fulfillments, I'm praying, we all need to pray, that the Holy Spirit will personally unveil the hidden mystery of America's role in Bible prophecy. And we all need to know the things that are coming. Can I get an amen? Because God will not keep anything away to those who love him. Look what John 16:13 says right up here. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into what? All truth. Some? All truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you what? Things to come. See, God will tell us things to come. And look what he says in Amos right up here. In Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has revealed his secrets to you. That's right. He has. He has, because he loves you. And he don't want his church to be endangered at all. So we're going to pick up with point 27. Remember last, this is part three now. So we're further ahead. And now we're going to look at number 27. Let's look at this. Babylon meets the 23 characteristics of a reprobate society. Reprobate. What do I mean by reprobate? Reprobate means that in this nation, and there's other nations as well, but in this nation, people are so entrenched in their sin, they won't turn back to God. So God gives them a reprobate mind. How many of you can say without a shadow of a doubt, and we pray for hope, we pray that there's a turnaround, we pray that there's mercy for certain people, but how many of you know, could be a family member, a friend, acquaintance, that's been in an alternative lifestyle for many years. Many years. And every time you see this person or run into them, they look further darker. They look like they're walking in further darkness. Why? Because God has given them a reprobate mind. He's turned them over. He's turned them over to their own lust. And so because they have defiled the vessel that God created holy, they look to God and says, uh-uh, and give them the finger, this is what I am. And they rebel against God. And so what happens is, he gives them over as a reprobate. Jesus, help us. How do I know this? It's in the book of Romans. Let's go there. Look at Romans 1:28. And even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, meaning a reprobate mind, to do the things which are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder and strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers. They like to go, psst, 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 hey, psst, psst, psst. Look at this. They're backbiters, haters of God. Those people in the alternative lifestyles, they hate God and they hate the God that's in you. They're violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. These are people that are in the trenches with them, and guess what? They approve for everyone else to be like that. Wow. So, point 27 is Babylon meets the 23 characteristics of a reprobate society. Look at number 28 here. Babylon becomes a debtor nation, not a lender. For some people, everyone's credit card is tapped out. It's not a savings account. That money's owed. Huh. God told Israel that you would be the lender and not the borrower. But guess what? This country has become the borrower. You know how many trillions of dollars we're in debt? 30-something trillion. You know, that's monopoly money. That's beyond comprehension. Just $1 trillion. Someone said that $1 million, if you stack $1, it could probably, $1 million could almost reach the moon. $1 trillion can surpass the solar system. I mean, $1 trillion is a whole lot of, it's a whole lot. And we're $30 trillion in debt. See, when that happens, one of the things, if you ever do historical research, but when a nation gets into that type of debt, they need a war. They need to go to war. Why? Because they want to get out from that debt. And the only way to get out from that debt is to destroy, so that they don't owe that debt no more. Wow. Look at this. The U.S. has the number one highest national debt in the world. The highest. Look at Deuteronomy 15:6. For the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. That has flip-flopped, hasn't it? We are no longer a lender country. We're a borrower. Look at this in Deuteronomy 28. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Guess who has more rights? Guess who has got more money than you right now? The illegals that have come across. Oh, they got everything. They got health care. They got housing. They got meals. Cars. It says right here, the alien among you shall rise higher. These are people that have come in that are not here. They're not supposed to be here. They flooded the borders. And they got more better treatment than us. As a matter of fact, when they commit atrocious crimes, they're let out. They're let out again to go do them again. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. That's right. Look at number 29. Babylon becomes a habitation of every form of immorality. Revelation 18:2. Look at this. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, it's fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Wow. Everything that is found in the book of Deuteronomy what God said do not do is activated today in our country. There's pedophilers now, and they're trying to pass a law so that adults can molest kids. There's abortion on demand. There's in California, because we just got our voting things in. I got to study a little more. But I'm telling you, there's some wicked stuff on there. I hope you guys vote platform. I don't vote party. I vote platform. I look at both parties and I look at the platform. I don't look at the individual, because both of them will lie to you. I'm looking for the platform. What do they stand for? That's the one I'm going to lean to. But we need, listen, if you have the ability to vote, you need to vote. Because if we get, I don't know, if we get the wrong person in there, we're done. We're done. We're done. Because Russia is ready to pounce on us. But every foul, everything is here. Remember I showed you some clips? I showed you all the parades of the transgenders, the homosexuals. Every foul spirit is in this nation now. So, let's look at this. U.S. and Christianity. Let's look at the Christians in our country. Look at this, number 30. Babylon is a nation that has a large amount of God's people within her. There's a whole lot of us. A whole lot. The U.S. has the largest Christian population in the world. Look at this. This is what God is saying to us, though. This is what God is saying to us right up here. Look at this. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you shall share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues. In other words, why do we want to dance with the devil? Why do you want to party with the devil? Drink with the devil? Run with the devil? Run with people that don't know God? They will pollute you. They will distort. They'll distort what God is trying to do in your life. They'll sidetrack you. Look what Jeremiah said. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, surely I will fill you with men as with locusts, and they shall lift up a shout against you. Right now, we are a minority in this nation. Did you know that? Do you know that the majority hates Christianity? They hate us. Why? They hate the name of Jesus. That's why Jesus has been taken out of all the schools. You can't talk about Jesus in the public school. You can't talk about Jesus in the courtroom. You can't talk about Jesus in the public arena. But it's okay with Buddha. It's okay with Confucius. It's okay with Allah. But you can't talk about the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the only God that can change you and save you and transform you from darkness to light. Hallelujah. Only God can do that. Only Jesus can. Thank you, Lord. Woo, thank you, God. Now, let's look at this number 31 here. Babylon has within her Christians who have lost their first love for Christ. Okay, so these are now your lukewarm ones. There's a whole bunch of Christians in the United States. I was going to put a whole bunch of clips up here, but I didn't. I didn't want to, because we all know, but I was going to show homosexual priests and pastors his first man sitting right next to him. And these are Pentecostal churches. They're not Presbyterian. I wanted to put them on. I said, no, we'll talk about it. But this is where we've gone. People have lost their first love. How many remember when you first got saved? Man, it was all about Jesus, huh? It was all about God, man. You want nothing but Him. You wanted to be smothered in Him. And now there's people that care less. They put things in front of God. They work around their life around. Instead of working God as the center, they put Him on the outside of their life. And He's a secondary thought now. He's not the love of their life no more. Well, that's sad. That's sad. Well, guess what? Guess what it says here in Revelation 2:2-4? Look at this. God calls it out. Look at this. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. Yeah, we can't. Let's admit it, man. You know, we see evil, we call it, right? And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not and have found them liars. Oh, yeah. Anyone could just download and print out a certificate. I'm apostle so-and-so now. Point. Yes. But look at this. Verse 3, look at this. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, look at what he says. Nevertheless, I have this great thing against you, that you have left your first love. See, we could be all religious, but if Jesus is not the center of your heart, if you're not running after souls to watch them get saved and baptized and get filled with the Holy Ghost, if you're not sharing your testimony, what God has done, what God is doing, what God is about to do, then we're going to find ourselves in this category as we left our first love. There's a lot of seats in here if you guys want to come in here, you guys. Praise God. For those of you that just walked in, we're in our part 3, Mystery Babylon. Look at this. You have left your first love. Number 32. Let's look at point 32 up here. Babylon has Christians within her who have dead works. And God talks to this church called Sardis. Look at this. In Revelation 3:1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, says he who has seven spirits of God and seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive. But what? You are dead. You are dead. You know what that is? These are people that do things to be seen. They just want to be seen by people. Look what I'm doing for God. But they have no heart for it. The works are dead. They care less if that person gets saved or not. Man, you have to have a heart. And the days that we live in. Why? Because the enemy wants to railroad us. And he's doing a great job right now. That's what he wants to do. He wants to railroad us. Jesus, help us. So he says, but you are dead. We need to come alive. Amen? We need to come alive unto God. We need to call things that are evil. Here's one of the most difficult things that I've seen in my own life and the life of others. When you know that people in your sphere of influence, whether they're friends or family members, and they're in deep sin, and you don't tell them to repent or be cast into the lake of fire. We just, God knows. I'm praying. No. John the Baptist lost his head because he called out the sin. He told the king, you're not with your wife that you're sleeping with. He had to call it out. And he lost his head for it, but he wasn't ashamed. Paul the Apostle says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to us Gentiles. We have to be bold in the days we live in. Why do we have to be bold? Because the devil is bold right now. Look at all the parades of the homosexuals and transgenders. They have infiltrated our school system. They're teaching our kids now about transgenders and things of that nature. Where have we gone? You know why it's like that? Because the church is asleep. No one's crying out no more. Believers are not flooding those schools and say that is evil and calling them to repent. No, we've conformed with them. That's why God says right here, yeah. He says, yeah, look, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those and say they are apostles and are not, and have not found them liars. And you have preserved, look at this, and you have persevered. And you have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. But then he goes on. Nevertheless, Jesus said, I have this against you, that you've left your first love and your works are dead. Wow. Wow. Let's move on to number 33. Babylon has Christians within her who are persecuted. You know, if you're living right and holy, you will be persecuted. You will be persecuted. Even if your own blood family rejects you, that's not a bad thing. You know why? Because you're trying to live holy, and they don't like, they don't want to be around someone that lives holy. And they don't want to be told that they're in sin. And so they'll refrain from you. How many people you know that will refrain from you? Oh, yes, they will. Oh, yes. They will refrain from you. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus. Look at this in Revelation 2:9. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but a synagogue of Satan. Look at this. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Instead, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and that you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Wow. Be faithful. If there's anything out of this message today, be faithful. Can I get an amen? Woo, be faithful. Because God is the ultimate one that is going to bless you. And whatever he blesses us with is going to go into eternity. Can I get amen? Amen? Number 35, look at this. Babylon has Christian Nicolaitan leadership that deny hell, sin, or eternal consequences. I came across a believer, well, supposed to be a believer, and they don't believe in hell. They say it's a metaphor. Really? If it was, Jesus would never talked about the rich man that went to hell and was saying, Abraham, can you put a couple of drops on my tongue because it's hot down here? Wow. Look at what Revelation 2:13 says. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, and even in the days which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you, where what? Satan dwells. Look at verse 14 here. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat these things sacrificed to idols, who commit what? Sexual immorality. And so, God has an issue. So we're on the topic right now, and we're in this category, as this nation has many Christians. Notice there's so many denominations, so many doctrinal differences. Some are pre-trib, post-trib, some are pan-trib. You know what pan-tribs are? They think it's going to pan out the way God wants it to pan out. There are so many, you know. I say this, trust in the Lord. Trust in God. He'll lead us, He'll guide us, and He'll take us home when He's ready. Can I get an amen? Now, let's look at number 35. Babylon has Christian leadership who promote the Jezebel spirit of immorality, meaning Baal worship. Look at Revelation 2:20. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. She did not repent. Now look at this, what I'm going to show you right up here. It's in words. It's not in picture form. I didn't want to get thrown out of here. Look at this. Babylon has over 3,500 strip clubs, the Astora poles, firmly establishing temples of Baal worship, high places throughout the nation. Meaning, every state in our union, every city, there's a strip club, and there's a pole, and there's women dancing on it. Every one of them. It's Astoreth. It's in our nation. And it's through Baal worship. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And it's perverting the mind. Guys are going, yeah, man, you know, put a little money in there. Yeah, man. You know, yeah, you know, if you ain't busy, come over here and... It's Astoreth that God is still here. And all these poles are in every one of those clubs. She swings on that pole to seduce men. My. Jesus, help us. Wow, thank you, God. You delivered us. Look what Isaiah talks about this. Isaiah talks about this. Look. Stand now with your enchantments and the multitude of your sorceries in which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you'll be able to profit. Perhaps you will prevail. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from what shall come upon you. You know, there are so many tarot card places and what have you. Del, I remember your two friends, this is before we got saved, your two friends, they're brothers, and their mom, the Sanborns. I shared this story. I was married, it was my first marriage, unsaved. And we're always fighting. I wanted to get back. I didn't know how to get her back. And Del goes, go see Sanborn's mom. And so I got the address, walked up the stairs, and that place was a dark place. And she opened the door, came in. Can you bring me back a picture of her? And so this was a week, 1 week before I got saved. And so I went back, I got a picture, gave her everything. She goes, you watch. And she was telling me in Spanish, everything's going to be cured. Because she's the corrido, meaning the cure. So okay, I didn't know that was Santería. Santería. I didn't know it was that witchcraft or whatever that was. Okay? Yeah. No, we was lost, man. You know, we were all lit up. And so I got saved. Remember, the custodian saved me at Horizon Christian Fellowship. I got filled with the Spirit of God. And now I remembered, oh, I'm supposed to see this lady next Thursday. And she has the photo. I kid you not. I started walking up the steps. I drove up. Huh? No, but check it out. I started walking up. Her screen door was open. No, her screen door was closed, but the front door was open. And right when I got to the top, she goes, you're in church now, aren't you? I go, yeah. She goes, you're one of his. I can't see you no more. Yeah, the devil, Satan was talking to her. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because she was deep in that. I go, well, I came here for the picture. And I put my hand in the door, and she gave me the photo back. I go, she goes, you know that you can't see me no more. I go, uh-uh. Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, her son. Yeah. Roger, who was the other one? Who? Nick and Roger Sanborn, yeah. I forgot. And what was her name? Well, her name was Tina. Lord have mercy. I was dealing with a bruja. Didn't know it. But God is good, huh? You see, when God's hand is on you, He will not let anything defile you or kill you, because it's not time. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. Amen. He's got a plan. Thank you, God. Look at this in Revelation right up here. In Revelation 2:14, he says, but I have a few things against you, because you have here those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual what? Immorality. And then in Revelation 2:20, it says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. By my mind. Now, let's move on. And we're going to look at Laodicea, the U.S. and money. And as I shared earlier, we're what? $3 trillion in debt? Oh, 30. Those are endless dollars we have never seen. And so let's look at number 37. We only got two more points after this. Babylon has the richest believers in the history of the world within her. The richest believers. I'm not going to put this person on blast. But when we were at the Regal Cinema, remember the Regal Cinema Theater, our first Amazing Grace there? There was someone there every week dropping in $5,000 as an offering. $5,000 every week. It's like, why? Because there's wealthy believers. There's people that have earn that status, that money is not an issue with them. We all know our dear friend, Sister Linda. Same thing. We've been to her house. How many have been to her house with us? She lives in a $10 million home. She has a yacht in her backyard. Yeah. And she owns her own jet. And yet, she was our friend. Still is our friend. Wealthy. And so, Babylon has the richest believers in the history of the world within her. Rich, wealthy. But look at this. Revelation 3:17. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Sometimes we could be a what? Fat cats. And like, where's God? Do I need God right now? No, I'm doing well. That's right. We need him all the time, right, sister? All the time. Look at this. Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Man, when God has to deal with us, he's got to deal with us. And he's got to deal with us harshly. Two more points. Now, here's one. You guys know, as long as you guys know me to be pastor of Amazing Grace, you guys all know I've never been a beggar. Right? Oh, we need to take another offering. Oh, you're not giving enough. Oh, you're not doing this. No. I never will. I told God, if you ever give me a church, I'm not going to harp. They need to know what to do. And it's between them and God. Not between them and the church. It's them and God. Can I get an amen? Amen. But I want to show you something for you to see how God looks at this. Okay? Right up here. Look at this. Babylon has majority of believers not tithing their first fruits of their substance. In other words, they're tippers. Yolanda and I, true story. We saved our money to go to Israel. We are at Mission Valley. And we got back, we were broke as two pennies. Here comes the offering. And at Mission Valley, there was 3,000 deep. We were in the 930. So those are a good 1,000 people in the auditorium. So here comes the bag. I go, honey, you got any money? She goes, no. I took up my wallet. I had $22. So I took the $2 out, threw it in the bag, and off it went. And then I put my hands up because they were having a worship song. And I heard God's voice clearly as can be. He said, why are you tipping me? I said, honey, did you say something to me? She goes, no. So I turned to the guy next to me. I go, sir, did you say something to me? He goes, no. Oh, man, who said that? So I put my hands up again and started worshiping. And then I heard it again. Why are you tipping me? I have been so good to you. I got it. We came home. I go, honey, we've been sinning before God. What do you mean sin? You've been sinning. I haven't been sinning. You have been sinning. What is it? I go, come here, honey. And we got on our knees in front of our bedside. I opened up and I went to the scripture I'm going to show you right now. I said, we've been robbing God. She goes, how you been robbing God? Are you taking money out of the offering bag? That was what she, you know, she's going, how am I? I go, we've been tipping God. We haven't been tithing. So we made a covenant. The most money I ever made in 2003, up to 2003, the most money I ever made in real estate was like $60,000, and that was low to some agents. That was nothing. That was like a drop in the bucket. So we made a covenant that morning or that afternoon. We said, everything that comes into this house, we're going to give a tenth, and it's going to go back to God. So when I got my commission, tenth. Didn't even think of bill or nothing, tenth. She did the same thing. She was working at a company that built airplane parts called Sungear up in Miramar. And so she did the same thing. The following year of us just tithing unto God, being faithful about it, I went from $60,000 to $400,000 working out of that little office back there. And we were taking people to Israel. We were just dropping gifts left and right. Ask my brother. My brother, he knows. He seen it all transpire. But people tip God. And I'm sharing this because I won't touch on this again. I don't need to. Because if you are truly born again and God's your Father, you got to deal with Him on this issue, not me. We've dealt our issue with Him. I'm sharing what we did. And from that moment on, God's always supplied everything we ever needed. Everything. And so look at this in Revelation. Oh, the question remains, are tithers or non-tithers rich, generous toward God? Well, we've known some really ones that were really good givers. I shared with you already. But look at this in Revelation. I counsel you to buy for me gold. Now, look what he's saying. I need you to catch what God is saying here. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Okay, so what he's saying here is, why aren't you trusting in my economy, but you're trusting in the world's economy? See what I'm saying? How come you're not trusting with me? Because I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. And so here's where, when Sister Tammy reads these things once in a while when we're doing offering, she forgets verse 8 right up here in Malachi. Look at this. In Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. This whole nation. You know who are the best tithers in our nation? Are the Jews. Why are they wealthy? Because they teach their children. Rabbi told me, they teach their children from birth on how to tithe. Yes. To give a tenth of everything they have. That's why they're wealthy. Jews are wealthy. Majority of them are. Look at this. You are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Look at this. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you such a blessing that you will not be room enough to receive it. There will not be room enough to receive it. Oh my gosh. Look at this. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. So things have changed in our finances, because real estate's dead. But I turned 65, so now I'm collecting Social Security. So we're tithing off of that. We're tithing straight off of that. And God is still sustaining us. Amen. Still supplying all our needs according to His riches and glory. I'm teaching you a biblical principle. It's not between you and the church. Not between you and pastor. It's between you and the Lord. Amen. Thank you, God.
That's
right. Your first love. And all He's saying is, are you going to trust me with what I give you? Look at it like this. Yeah, He gets 10 of it. You get to keep 90. Yeah. given you 90 to keep? And just give him his 10. So he can bless you. And it, listen, when you're in that mode of operation, guess what happens? He starts flooding you now with tremendous outpouring of wealth, that the tenth is no longer an issue. You want to give more because he's giving you more to give.
Amen.
Isn't that something, man? I'm telling you, that's what happened to us. We were like, whoa, Nelly. This is like, oh my gosh. It's an oh my gosh moment. So we're winding down. We're going to look at this. Philadelphia, the U.S. and her escape. The Church of Philadelphia and her open door will deliver believers from Babylon's judgment. Revelation 3:8, look at this. I know your work. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. This is what I love about you guys. You guys are here because you love Jesus, and you haven't denied his name. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You guys all love him. You love him from the day you got saved. And he should constantly be in your heart, and in your mind, and in your thoughts, and in your family. Look at this in verse 9. I indeed will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Listen, God is going to, during the millennial reign, God said that we're going to rule and reign with him. So just imagine how many people are going to be under our feet, that we're going to be ruling with Christ in. When we have the new body, we'll be transformed. We will be like him. Look at this in verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which will come upon the whole world. Guess what that is? The tribulation. You do not want to be in the tribulation. You do not want to be on this planet when nukes are being exchanged, because that day's coming soon. It's building up. Look at this. Which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Well, God is saying someone can take your crown. You know how your crown's taken? By being dormant, thrown in the towel, walking away from your first love. Don't want nothing to do with the things of Christ no more. When we were there at Maranatha Chapel, what did Daniel say? What were the three things? The three things he talked to. Oh, you weren't there, brother. The three things that he mentioned there at the Feast of Trumpets. Number one was Israel was formed in 1948. Now the clock is ticking. Number two, the war in Israel. And number three, the apostasy. He says they have lost all kinds of members in that big old church. He goes, I've talked to pastor friends all over the county, and many are not coming to church no more. Because Satan has pulled their hearts away from him. Because Satan knows he has but a little time. So he's putting other things in the object of their affection and pulling them away. So what does he use? He uses many things. He'll use social things, sports, nightly events and clubs and things in that nature. He wants you to fall in love with glitter and forsake his glory. Because there's things that look shiny, but they're all a bunch of glitter. There's no glory in it. My. Wow. But look what he says here in verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my what? My new name. Thank you, God. Look at this in Revelation 19:2. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his service shed by her. When I read this, the blood of her servants shed by her. 70 million babies aborted now in America. And as I'm speaking this message right now, we're live streaming right now, there's someone being aborted right now as we speak. Wow. It's ongoing. Look at this in Revelation 19:6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and what? And give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself what?
Ready.
Ready. We're the bride. We're the bride. Aren't we the bride? We need to make ourselves ready. How many saw the movie Before the Wrath? Woo, man. We're that bride that God's going to come for. Come, man, I'm telling you, it's almost here. Look at this in verse 8. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. You know why this hasn't happened yet? Because we're still here. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And we're going to be caught up and we're going to experience the marriage supper of the Lamb. How many believe Jesus is coming? Huh? He's coming real soon. Paul wrote it in Thessalonians. Paul wrote it in Corinthians. Right now, we're still in Rosh Hashanah time. We're still celebrating the two-day feast of trumpets. So we don't know if these when these 2 days fulfill and we're out of here. We don't know yet. But this is what it says in the Word of God. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. These are already dead. They're in their coffins. Some of them are in the deepest part of the ocean. They're everywhere. There's dead folks everywhere. Look at this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will what? Rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up. Harpazo. There it is. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord of the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No. Comfort. Comfort one another. And then Paul confirms it in Corinthians. Look at this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood. Tap your flesh. Tap your flesh right now. This cannot go into heaven. It's confined to gravity. We have to have that new body that will float out of here. Can I get an amen? Now this I say, brother, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised what? Incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible, that's our body, must put on incorruption, a body that will never be corrupted. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And here is a warning to those who are playing church and is not the church. Look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come.
Are you ready? So my friends, those of you that are watching on Facebook and YouTube, and those who could be here today that's never given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the key scripture, is you must repent. In other words, you're walking toward the course of this world, and God says, make an about face, turn to me and start walking toward me. Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And so if you are listening and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, and watch God do the miraculous in your heart. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Come on, is he worthy? Woo, is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the